Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. As America changes, the tech industry has been slow to keep up. More than half of children born today are people of color, and one in four have an immigrant parent. Yet Silicon Valley and the U.S. tech economy don't really resemble the nation's diverse population, and that results in a lot of missed opportunities. Fortunately, an impressive triangle-based nonprofit is tackling this issue head-on. Code the Dream provides direct training to young people from immigrant backgrounds and communities of color in tech skills so that they can break into a world that's long lacked racial, ethnic, and gender diversity. And recently, I got a chance to learn more about the organization, its accomplishments, and an upcoming training event it's sponsoring on November 15th in a conversation with its founder and co-executive director, Dan Rierich. Well, Dan Rierich, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Rob.
I've been generally aware of Code the Dream, but I probably would do a very poor job of explaining it to a layperson. It's an incredibly impressive nonprofit that you have helped found and lead. Talk to us about this organization, how it got started. What's it trying to accomplish?
Thanks, Rob. At Code the Dream, our mission is really to create opportunity that changes lives, to build technology that benefits our communities, and to support the diversity that drives a more just and innovative world. So what does that really mean? Basically, it means we offer free intensive training in software development for people from diverse low-income backgrounds, including people of color, new immigrants and refugees, and really everyone who's underrepresented in the growing tech economy. One of the most unique things about Code the Dream is for people who do our classes, which are all free, they can then continue on to Code the Dream Labs, which is an apprenticeship program where our coders work full-time with experienced mentors to hone the skills that they've developed by building real-world apps that benefit our communities. Everything from tools to help low-income workers access the benefits they need to helping kids with learning difficulties learn to read.
That's terrific. I take it there was a bias, there was a stereotype maybe that the people that you have been helping were underrepresented in tech companies and in the tech world and were probably not encouraged to enter into it. Is that a fair assessment of how things probably still are?
Unfortunately, yeah, I think that is a fair assessment. I think there's really two main motivations that were the impetus for Code the Dream. One is just social mobility, the fact that the wealthy are getting wealthier and wealthier and the poorest of us are not getting wealthy. And so the gap is growing. And tech is certainly not the main cause of that, but it's part of that. The fact that the tech industry is becoming a bigger and bigger part of our economy. There's so many amazing jobs out there. But at the same time, the very innovations that we often applaud are to some extent taking jobs away from lower income workers as we continue to automate. And so we basically have this ongoing process where the lowest wage workers are worse and worse off and are not getting the same access to opportunity as folks who have the opportunity to go to fancy schools and get computer science degrees.
That's terrific. So how long has Code the Dream been around now?
So we started pilot programs back in 2015, and we've just been growing ever since then. We're based here in North Carolina, but we actually have students in 30 states now. We have the opportunity to participate remotely. So we've been growing fast, but not fast enough. We have probably just over 200 students this year, but have over 1,200 applicants this year. So we're trying to keep up with incredible demand.
Is there like a typical length of the initial training program that folks go through, or does it vary?
Yeah, the initial classes run 9 to 12 months, depending on a person's track. And then comes the apprenticeship for those who are interested in that. And that's generally a year-long apprenticeship. And the ultimate aim, again, of all of that is to create a unique win-win where the coders gain real-world experience building apps that make the world a little better place. And then use that experience to launch new careers that have enormous potential for themselves, their families, and our communities.
We're talking with Dan Rierich, who's the co-executive director and co-founder of Code the Dream, an incredibly impressive North Carolina-based nonprofit that, as he just alluded to, is now working across the country. Who are the mentors that you and the teachers, the instructors that you bring in?
Yeah, we are incredibly fortunate that we have just an amazing army. I don't know about the word army, but it's a large number of incredible volunteers that are themselves experienced professional software developers who help us and provide one-on-one mentorship. So we'll have over 10,000 hours of one-on-one or small group mentorship this year. And it's lots of folks who have already been involved in tech and want to see it become more diverse in a place where everyone really has that opportunity. So if anybody out there listening is a software developer and wants to help out, come to codethedream.org and check out the ways to get involved.
I take it there are multiple people who've gone on to successful careers in tech since coming through Code the Dream. Are there some that really, you know, you're especially proud of or that stand out? I'm sure you're proud of everybody who comes through the program, but I wonder if anybody really sort of is emblematic of the success.
For sure. Yeah. Over 90% of Code the Dream apprentices go on to careers in tech. And for many, that means going from struggling to get by to making usually between 60 to 90,000 a year starting salaries as software engineers. So oftentimes that's the first chance to get good health insurance, really feel secure, and eventually buy a house. And that's been the case with lots of Code the Dream alumni. I mean, there's so many people who've had that path in terms of just individuals who've gone on to great careers. One of the things that we're actually most excited about and proud about is the fact that half of our staff came up through Code the Dream too. Huh. So we have this unique kind of community where a lot of people actually, to some extent, turn down or at least delay those amazing private sector jobs in order to stay with us and give back and mentor the next folks coming through.
That's terrific. You mentioned the fact that it's not just an education organization, you're actually producing products for the real world, right? You're developing apps that can actually be used and that people are actually, that are out there in the world today.
That's right. Yeah. A big part of our vision is to see a world in which tech innovation really comes from all of us and benefits all of us. So we are incredibly excited every time somebody goes on and gets a great job and is able to buy a house. But we also think that it's equally important, just the idea of technology itself, that it's much more inclusive. When you think about technology, technology is by definition applying human knowledge, the latest and the greatest, in order to make our lives better. But who is sitting around the table makes such a big difference, both in how we solve problems, but in what problems we even try to solve in the first place. If you think about it, I mean, there's no shortage of apps to manage investments or get takeout delivered. But how often do we really try to solve the hardest problems? And that's something that we try to do at least every day at Code the Dream. It's all about lived experience for us. We have an app that we're really proud of called Vamos. It means like let's go in Spanish. And it's for migrant farm workers. It's being used across the country now. And on our teams that build that app have included many people who actually grew up in migrant farm worker families. Back in March of 2020, at the outset of the pandemic, we did a quick project with Durham Public Schools Foundation. Well, I should say our part of it was mm-hmm. relatively quick. Durham Public Schools Foundation has continued to do amazing work on this ever since. But we helped them with a small part to help them gather the information that they eventually used to deliver over 400,000 meals to low-income families whose kids had suddenly been cut off from free school lunches. And the amazing thing on our side is that the lead engineer for us was only 20 years old, and she had just herself graduated from Riverside from a Durham Public School high school just 2 years prior. Those stories are amazing. That's what I love about working at Code the Dream.
Wow, that really is the American dream in action. I take it public policy remains a problem for a lot of the people that you mentor, things like the federal DACA program and the attacks on that, and the fact that, you know, the challenges of getting in-state tuition for people who may be immigrants, maybe even have lived here their whole lives, but because they came here as tiny children. I assume some of the people that are part of your program find those hurdles as well in the way, in addition to just the traditional bias and stereotypes of the tech industry.
Yeah, it's a huge problem for many people who participate in Code the Dream. We do have a lot of young people with DACA who have participated in Code the Dream, but there are so many other barriers too, whether it's for somebody who's a new immigrant or refugee to the U.S. or somebody for whom, for a variety of reasons, the education system failed them much earlier in their lives, even though they've lived here their entire lives. And so Yeah, there's a lot of barriers that people face, but there's also the kind of more general barrier of how people having the knowledge and means of how to get involved and how to engage to make changes in those things. We actually have what we call a demo day coming up November 15th at noon. Right. If anybody wants to join, you can reach out to our staff through our website. You can also reach directly to one of our colleagues, Pam@codethedream.org. You can get your own invite. But the whole focus of that particular demo day is a chance for staff and apprentices to show off some of the technologies they've been building. And in this case, particularly technologies around civic engagement. And one of those technologies is called Upstate. And it's now, we think it's clearly the leading app in North Carolina for keeping up with what's going on in North Carolina General Assembly and state policy. So if you want to learn more about that, you can go to start.keepupstate.com, start.keepupstate.com. And it's just an incredible technology that allows people to go in, people or organizations, many nonprofits are using it now, more and more journalists as well. You can put in keywords and find out what's happening on those issues as soon as it's happening. So you just get pinged as soon as, if you're interested in education, as soon as a new bill that has the word education in it gets introduced, you get an update. So there's a lot of technologies that we work on in that arena as well. That particular app, Upstate, has just some really, really cool features that should be coming out for next legislative session, including the ability for people to get similar updates about everything that's happening in committee hearings as it's happening. So that should be pretty exciting.
What a concept. The public actually paying attention to the General Assembly. That's great. Well, Dan Rarick, thanks so much for being with us. Dan is the co-founder and executive director of the Triangle-based nonprofit Code the Dream. Dan, folks, again, tell us the website one more time. People want to get involved, make financial contributions, and become a mentor. How should they go about it?
Yep, that's right. Just go to codethedream.org, codethedream.org.
We'll put that on the website as well. Dan, it's great having you. Thanks for being with us. And we'll probably check in again in the coming months to hear about some future successes.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate it.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. You can also listen to all of our interviews and commentaries on Apple Podcasts. For producer Clayton Henkel, it's Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.